Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what was the entity that a woman saw that also had no face?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like our program, we give you those EPP bonus episodes every single week. If you're a supporter of the show, that's jam-packed with some of our best ghost stories that we get in storytelling that's very different than the normal regular day episodes. Please do, if you like the show, support us and get access to that. Plus, you get access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, our advanced episodes, and all of it is commercial free. Yes, it's a way of saying thank you, and we definitely appreciate your support. So to try to make it worth your while, sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Harper with you, and you may have noticed last week we had an episode on Thursday, and today we have an episode on Thursday. What we've decided to do is, because Harper had been doing a lot of the weekend episodes to kind of get introduced into the show, and she'd been doing it for like half a year or so at least.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because as you've grown in the last year, you've gotten taller and being able to get closer to your microphone, which is, it's kind of a funny little point, because you used to have to like really reach up there, and now you're just like right there in front of the mic.
Yeah, like before I would have to like really lean in to the mic when I just first started doing this,
and now you're there.
Yep. Here I am right in front of the mic. Yay, my accomplishment. I can't say it.
Accomplishment.
Yes.
Yes, you've accomplished growing a couple more inches.
Yay.
And you'll just keep doing that for the foreseeable future. But anyway, what we decided to do is Thursday is going to be, we're going to put the Harper episodes into the regular week rotation of the show and give you an extra day during the week on Thursdays with Harp on the show. And then the weekends are going to be best of. So stuff from our archive of the last 9 years, essentially, on the weekend episodes, to kind of get some flashback stuff from quite a ways back there on the weekends.
It's kind of funny because, like, the day that we're recording this, it's absolutely just snowing.
Yeah, it's 4:20 today, and it is legitimately snowing outside.
Yeah, like it's like a kind of like,
it looks like a snowstorm right now.
It does.
And it's scary because I got all my plants in the garden and all that stuff, and I got it all covered up, and I just hope, I mean, I don't know. This morning we went to the store and actually stocked up on a whole bunch of replacement plants because I'm already anticipating things are not going to go well for the plants.
Yep.
In the snowstorm. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, I've had a lot of weird things happen to me in my life. Some I cannot really explain, especially the one I'm about to tell you. I've always been balmy. I like adventure and thrills. The thing is that I get my adrenaline going. I mean, that is why I was a lifeguard for years as a young woman. Felt amazing. One day on Halloween, with my little brother and sister, we went to Seven Bridges in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was midnight. The parking lot was empty. We heard stories of a place and not to go there after night. A better time to do it than Halloween. We went down to the bridges where it was pitch black with only the slight lighting of the moon. We made it down to the beach and I remember looking to the left by the shore of the water and saw a few people with a stroller. It was kind of weird being so late. We walked along, jumped over this stream to get by the shore. Now, you don't hallucinate when you're doing this drug that I was doing. So I can tell you it was not that. The moon made it bright. We could see each other simply fine. It was quiet and relaxing with the wind in your face, just looking at the water and hearing it crash back and forth, reaching the sand. I looked over to my right and noticed a couple with the stroller were gone, as if they just kept walking and disappeared. I did not think anything of it. My sister Nicole tapped me on the shoulder. She said, Sherry, what was that? I looked over to the left to see a group of people in the same clothing running forward. You've been to Seven Bridges, you know about the huge cinder blocks in the water, separated by about a foot apart, really only room for one person on there. Well, again, as we looked in the direction, we noticed them running along the blocks that go out into the water. It'd be about 5 or 7 people in the same clothing with their hoods up. As they ran on the bricks, they all ended up at the end of the last brick out in the water, which is impossible, meaning that there's not that much room for that many people out on one block. They started to run, which looked in the opposite direction. My sister pointed it out again and yelled, they're running towards us. I said, no, they're not. It looks like they're going the other way. My brother, who looks down, and he looks just like Jesus with his brown wavy hair, was just laughing and not even paying attention. I look and the group was getting closer and closer. I turn to see my sister already jumping over the stream and running to the stairs that led to the bridges. I said, screw this, and took off right behind her. As I reach the stairs, I turn around to see my brother with a full smile, running with them only a few feet behind me, coming at full force. Darren reached the stairs, and as soon as he took his foot off the sand, they stopped dead in their tracks and stood still. We all did. No one moved. My brother had his hood on. I could see his face, the liming of his nose and hair, but those people, they had no face. None of them. Just blackness under their hoodies, standing there. We stood there for like 3 minutes looking at each other and at them, looking for one of us to make a move, prepared for anything but nothing. No sounds, no breathing, no movement, absolutely nothing. I said, come on, let's go. And we ran. Being so in the dark, the further we went in, I kept looking behind. And they were still there every time. I looked back, standing there still. As he disappeared, the further we went. It was so dark we kept tripping over each other and just wanted to get to my car and leave. We all remember it. My sister's uncomfortable talking about it. It's just something we cannot explain. I investigated it and found others around the world have had encounters with faceless men or human-like things. What is it that they want? Are they spirits? Maybe they're the damned. Who knows? I know it is something that exists.
Okay. My question is, why were they running towards them?
I don't, that's the mystery of it. What are they doing? Because they run out there and they're seemingly doing things that are not even like humanly possible by all being on this one pillar out in the water.
Yeah.
There's not enough room for that to happen or for them all to get there safely. And then they all come running back and then they just stop, but not close enough to really identify. It's almost like shadow type people.
Yeah.
In a way, where you're just kind of seeing their dark outline. And I'm wondering if that's what this was an encounter with a shadow type person in the dark that you can kind of see the outline of what they're wearing. Because you get that with shadow. Sometimes you get shadow people with hats. So I guess a hoodie's not far off. If a shadow person can have a hat, it can probably have a hoodie
too. Yeah.
So I don't know what it is or why it is. And it seemed to be intelligent as well. Where maybe it's just, you know, doing the same thing they're doing. Just out having fun and kind of messing with people. I don't know the answer to it. But certainly a very creepy experience.
Yeah. And why have people told them not to go there? Especially at night.
Because it's dangerous and...
Yeah, it's dangerous. But, like... those shadows things just is like an extra caution thing.
Yeah, but I bet most people don't ever experience them. I think it's more so because it's in the dark and you're in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
and there's a lot of crime there. So, you know, if you're in a desolate area in Milwaukee in the dark, not usually going to work out well. So, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And you know what? I'm from up there, so I can say it. I can say that that's how I feel about the area because I grew up in the area. And so I am not just like, you know, bashing on some city I don't know. It's like, lived it. Let's go to the next letter. It says, let's go to caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, Tony, Jenny, Carol, Sean, and now Harper. Harper, I've loved hearing your contribution to Real Ghost Stories Online on Saturdays, and I'm very much looking forward to your own new show coming out as well. My name is Amanda. I'm 39 and live in Virginia with my husband and our two boys. Harper, my son Silas, is 9, just like you. I've been listening to RGSO and the Grave Talks for around 3 years now. I was an EPP until COVID hit and I lost my job, so I very much unfortunately had to end my subscription. And even though I've sent emails in to ask questions or relay my excitement and encouragements over the new podcasts you've created, I've still never shared a story until now. So moving on to it, my mom and I have had random small incidents or encounters in our lives here and there, but nothing so consistent that would make me say that I, at least, am sensitive by any means. My mom has had more things happen, or just more vivid incidents happen to her. That fact has always made me go back to my roots as a Christian and think about how they say God won't give you more than you can handle. And in that way, I just feel my mom can mentally handle actually seeing things where I can't. And in scary, unexplained scenarios, is just much cooler under that kind of pressure than me. I would probably end up literally jumping out of my skin or having a heart attack if I actually saw something as an adult. All of what I'm about to explain occurred in the house I grew up in from ages 2 to 19. We lived in just a normal ranch house in a middle-class neighborhood of other similar houses that were all built around like the 1950s. I'm an only child, so it was me, my mom, and my dad until they divorced when I was 8. Then it was only myself and my mom living there. As a small child, my bedroom, well, actually the whole time I lived in the house, my bedroom was at the end of the hallway and arranged to where when like lying on my back in bed, I could see out into the hall and see my mom's bedroom that was directly next to mine. And if I was on my left side, I'd be looking directly into my bathroom, which I always kept the light on in there at night. In this first occurrence, I was young enough to where I remember I still had a railing attached to my own bed to prevent me from falling out during the night. I remember one night I woke up in the middle of my sleep to see an actual full-bodied woman standing on top of my toilet seat, strangely enough. I remember she was wearing a pink dress that had large black polka dots on it. I don't remember seeing her face, and that's not to say it was a faceless person. It's just I don't remember a face. I remember the dress being slightly below the knee with capped sleeves, kind of that older style, and her shoes were black and looked like those ankle boot type shoes with a heel that women would wear like back in the 1920s. although I did only get a glimpse of her, I do know her hair was dark brown and not hanging down over her shoulders or anything, like it might have been up in a bun or something. When I saw her, I immediately shut my eyes really tight and froze in place because I was so scared, which was always my knee-jerk reaction when I'd get scared of something at night when I was small. I didn't open them or move again due to fear, and I'm sure I just fell back to sleep. In moments like this as a kid, I could never scream for my mom or try to run out of the room. I would always only shut my eyes and stay as still as possible. I just remember the feeling that if I moved or made noise, something bad or scary would happen. Kind of like when little ones think if they can't see you, you can't see them, I guess. Weirdly, as I'm telling this, I'm realizing I had to have had more incidents of scary things happening at night because I fully remember using that tactic anytime I was scared of something. But this is the one I remember to this day, the same as I remembered it right after it happened. She didn't move or anything. I just caught a glimpse, remember what she was wearing, and that was it. As I got older, if I were, like, for instance, in the bathroom, looking in the mirror, like brushing my teeth, I would catch like only a glimpse of what I thought was someone walking past the bathroom out of the corner of my eye. But when I'd look, no one was there. And then when I was a teenager, a young adult, grew to visually like see nothing, never had any more experiences, almost like I grew out of it, which leads to the next event. When I was 13 years old, my grandpa, my mom's dad, sadly passed away, leaving my mom's mom living alone in their house out in the country about 45 minutes from where we lived. So she would rotate staying with my mom and I for a couple weeks, then go back to her house for a week or so, then come back to us, and so on for a while. She ended up having a brain aneurysm, followed by a series of strokes that put her in the hospital for a good long time. But ultimately, she also passed away about a year after my grandpa had. a little side note that'll matter later in the story. When she stayed with us, we set her bedroom up in the spare room, up the same hallway from my mom's and my room. And every night she would sleep with her door open, only about an inch. She never closed it all the way. After she passed away, my mom faithfully kept the door to the room my grandma slept in shut, as it was just too upsetting for her to see it open and know that her mother wasn't here anymore. Afterwards, like a year or so went by pretty uneventfully until one night I was after dark. I was 15 years old, home alone, standing at the sink in the kitchen doing dishes before my mom got home. She worked second shift, so it would be dark before she got there. When I started to really vividly hear having a heavy breathing noise, it was noticeable enough for me to turn the water running in the sink off so I could listen closer and try to find out what it was. The breathing sounded struggled or something. That it just was, it just didn't sound the way you would think a healthy person's heavy breathing would sound, kind of like, and that's my best impression. But since I knew I was the only person home, I seriously and honestly thought it was an animal that had somehow gotten in our house, like a raccoon or possum or some other wild animal that could be wandering in like a suburban neighborhood. And knowing I would have no idea what to do in that case, it freaked me out. So I stopped what I was doing immediately and like shot downstairs. We had a finished basement with a door at the top of the stairs that could be shut behind me. And I stayed down there and watched TV for, you know, a few hours until my mom got home from work before I'd even go back upstairs. I heard her come home and I told her what I heard, but we found absolutely nothing in the house. So even though we thought it was weird, we just went on and didn't really mention it again until another night when I was yet again standing at the sink doing dishes and heard the exact same breathing. This time my mom was in the living room, which is pretty close to the kitchen. So I quickly turned off the water and kind of quietly hollered for her to come to the kitchen and turn off the TV. So be quiet. And when she came to me, I was like, be quiet. And I was like, kind of whispering, explaining that I was hearing the breathing again. Of course, it made a liar of me and stopped immediately. So my mom didn't get to hear it, which was super frustrating. I knew I wasn't mistaking the noise for something else, as I had tried to debunk all the possibilities the first time it happened, like making sure it wasn't associated with like the sink making some weird noise and it wasn't the animal in the house theory. At this point, my mind did start to go to other paranormal-ish possibilities. Although my mom and I only discussed the incidents when they happened, and that they were like weird and unexplainable, we didn't really talk about any other possibilities. I didn't bring up anything paranormal to my mom or anything. I heard the breathing another time when I had a girlfriend staying the night with me, as we were laying in the same bed, like playing on her like a game on her phone together in the dark. There was no TV or any form of noise on. It was like right before we were going to go to sleep. I heard it and I decided to say nothing because I really wanted to see if she heard it without me bringing it to her attention. And I had not told her any of the stories from me hearing it previously. And sure enough, she stopped playing the game, laying really still, and said, like, what the hell is that? And I stopped. The breathing, it stopped. So I explained to her what I'd been experiencing, feeling much less afraid to talk about it because I wasn't alone. And that was weird. But it, it stopped. The final time I heard this, I was alone downstairs watching TV. And this time I just shot up the stairs as fast as I could run to the living room, just sobbing, telling my mom I heard it again. She sat there with me, calmed me down, listened to me. She never made me feel doubted about it. Anytime I told her, she just had never heard it herself. So, she just had what I was saying to go off of. But, we just ended up watching TV the rest of the night together up there. So I didn't feel alone and uncomfortable. And in between these occurrences, randomly from time to time, my mom would fuss at me about opening the door to my grandma's room. I never knew what she was talking about when she came to me with it, as I never went in that room, and I knew my mom didn't want the door open, as it just made her sad. But time and again, she would say, Mandy, I've asked you that if you go in that room, to shut the door afterwards and not leave it open, please. But even though it was only she and I in the house, it just wasn't me opening the door. I'd say now, like maybe a year or so passes again, when one day my mom asked me out of the blue if I had heard that breathing sound anymore. And I told her no. And I was like super glad I hadn't, because it scared me so badly. And she proceeds to tell me that after the last incident where I was crying to her about hearing it and like frightened out of my gourd, she started to wonder if it could be my grandma, putting together the fact that I always swore I wasn't the one opening the door to my grandma's old bedroom, yet she found it open just an inch on several occasions. And she said that the day after the last incident of me hearing that struggled breathing sound, she stood in the house when I wasn't home and just spoke out loud and, saying like, Mama, if you were here and if the things going on around here are you, I want you to know that we are okay. You don't have to stay here to look out for us anymore. You can and should move on with the Lord. You need to go be with Daddy. We love you so much. But the noises are just really scaring Mandy. And it was just shocking to know that that was why I never heard the breathing sounds again. And my mom never filmed the bedroom door open an inch again either. So it had to have been my grandma, I felt. I almost felt guilty afterwards for being so scared, knowing it was her, because, you know, she was so kind and would never want to scare me. But like I said before, I'm just not the kind of person that has the type of strength necessary to be calm in paranormal scenarios, even if it were someone I missed and desperately wanted to see, even if just for like one more time. I honestly don't think I could handle it. Once my mom shared that with me, I shared with her the incident I explained earlier from when I was really young and saw the woman standing on my toilet. And she then shared with me that over the years in that home, she had other experiences as well of seeing things here and there, but she never told me because she didn't want to scare me. I had moved out at 19, like before my mom moved out of that house, but she said the last day that she was in that house after moving all her belongings out, she was there doing the last bits of cleaning and saw an actual full-bodied apparition in the basement standing in a corner as she was vacuuming. She said it was a young man, and one minute he was there and the next he wasn't. I asked if she freaked out and ran away, because obviously that's how I would feel, but she didn't. She said she really didn't feel anything bad at all from him at that time or ever in this home of ours that we shared for so long. She felt more like he was just telling her goodbye after she lived there for so long, which is just astonishing and awesome. But she ended up also telling me that people who lived in our house, the people who lived in our house before us were a couple who had a teenage son around 7 to 18 years old who tragically died in a motorcycle accident. So she always assumed through her experiences that besides the stuff with my grandma, that it must have been him. I mean, I fully believe these things happen, and I have such a respect for the dead and their reasons, whether I fully understand why or not, that they show themselves to us. And I really get a lot out of your programs besides the paranormal stuff. I love the banter, you know, between all of you guys. And I, as always, wish you guys the best in all your future endeavors with podcasting. And I'm glad I found the courage to share with you today. And so stay awesome and spooky, and good luck, Harper, with your new podcast. Bye, guys.
Thank you for sharing your story. That was the first part of that story where she got so much detail on the woman standing on top of the toilet seat. It just makes me wonder, why the toilet seat?
It is an odd place.
Why?
Well, I almost wonder with something like that, if what she was seeing was almost a residual type thing that is operating on the landscape of what it lived in. We've talked about this before. Sometimes people will see something like almost like floating in the air. And it's at a weird level, though. It's not just like right there. It's like a little bit higher than it should be, or quite a bit higher. And it's like with it. And then you look back at the building and the structure of maybe not even the building that you're in, but maybe a building that used to be there. And you could figure, oh, well, maybe the floor was there at one time. And they're still operating kind of in that environment. We see that a lot. So I wonder if at some point something was elevated there, something else was there that would be at that height. And in our world, it looks bizarre and out of place because it looks like they're standing on the toilet seat. But maybe in their realm, they're not. They don't see that at all. That would be my guess on the toilet seat. But, yeah.
Yeah, and the amount of detail that she got out of the clothing, I'm surprised that she didn't get the face.
That's interesting. And that's almost kind of like a dream-like state. Do you ever have that where, like, in a dream, you can make out everything, but, like, the object that you're really trying to focus on is hard, so if it's a face, it's blurry? I have it a lot where I'm, like, trying to dial a phone, and I can't see the numbers. Or the numbers when I press, I'm like hitting the wrong one and I can't ever get it to work. But when that's happening to you in real life, it's scary. So I don't know. It's an interesting story. Thank you for taking the time to write all that in. And and share those experiences with us here on the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this caller and hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony, and everybody. Long-time listener, first-time caller. You've heard the drill. This isn't really my story, but my mother's, but I think it's something I think she would like me to share. My dad, a former pastor, died the 13th of January of this year. He was 70 years old. He just dropped dead. And my mom woke up to him to find out that he had passed away. She did rescue breathing for him, everything. And she was struggling soon after that. And she got visited by one of her favorite birds, a male cardinal, the day after. Now, in some cultures, birds can be considered messengers from the dead, cardinals especially. Since my dad was a pastor, we figured it was him because a cardinal is a high-level priest. So we thank every day when we see a red cardinal these days because we think it's my dad coming to visit to watch over us just to tell us that he's okay. Well, guys, keep up the good work, and we'll keep listening to your show. Some of your stories are very spooky and very interesting, and I love the show. That's why I become an EPP. Keep doing good work, Tony and friends. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us.
It's kind of funny because we have like a red cardinal that will sit on your truck
every day.
Every day.
And poop.
And poop. It won't go anywhere else.
Yeah.
And if you walk up to it, it will fly away, and 10 seconds later, it will come back.
Yeah. We have an infestation of cardinals here, quite honestly, though. That's the one that's in the front yard. You go to the back behind the barn, there's like families of them.
Yeah, there's like a lot.
I've never seen flocks of cardinals until here. And I walked right out of the office here, and on the way down to the barn there, there's probably 20 of them all just like sitting around together. I was like, I've never seen this before. So I don't know what that means for us. If there's like a bunch of dead people that are just, they love the show and they're like, we're going to hang out around the studio. Maybe that's what that is. Cause I've never seen so many cardinals in my life, except for around this studio.
The other day I saw like, you know that, how there's like really big trees on the line of the road, mm-hmm. and all those trees.
The tree line, yeah.
I swear to God, I saw there had to be like at least 10 cardinals on each branch.
Yeah, well, they have their nests in all those trees. That's where they live. So yeah, that's where they're coming from. They live all in this tree line. But and I've never seen, and I love cardinals. It's one of my favorite birds. And when I look over at the one on my truck, I like to subscribe to what the caller was saying. I've always thought of my grandpa when I see a cardinal. He was really big into birds and loved. In fact, I have his bird book that I gave him for Christmas when I was like 11, right there, the bird garden, and I got it back when he passed away. They're like, oh, you should probably have this back. I'm like, wait, no, it was a gift for grandpa. Like, but like, okay. So, but I gave that to him when I was around your age. And I remember, because I know he liked birds. So I think of him when I see that cardinal that sits in my truck all the time. But I don't know who all these other cardinal bird people are that are in the back. Because I don't think I know that many dead people, but I'm thinking a lot of dead people know us from doing the show. So
all the ghosts have found us.
I don't know. I mean, that's maybe a way of looking at it. I don't know, because I don't know. I've talked to someone recently on the air who said that the ghosts enjoy our show. He actually asked them that question and got a response back through a spirit box. So,
oh yeah. And didn't you get like
saying my name
and saying your name
And
telling you if you should get a ghost box or not.
Yeah, saying that we should not get a ghost box.
But we're still going to get one no matter what.
I don't know. We're going to wait on that. But yeah, I've been playing that audio back on some other episodes this week with Todd and Carol. So
it's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to be getting one anytime soon. But
we have to.
No, I'm going to take... If the ghosts are telling you no, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with that for a while. Don't give me that look. I'm not messing with that. We got zombie cardinals right behind us. What more do you need, child?
A spirit box.
So we can go and communicate with the cardinal ghost.
Yes!
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help keep us on the air and get all of the extras. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.